Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is about that time. Time to fire up your grill for the holiday weekend and the unofficial beginning of summer. But if you're unsure about what to cook and how to cook it, well, we have professional help right here in the studio for charcoal, smoking, propane. Take your pick. My guests are Rodney Madison of Sparsoul Cuisine and Catering and Chef Mac, Grillmaster and Chef at Max Catering. If you have a question, if you have a comment, no question is too small. Beginners, veterans, all in between, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Guys, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Papa Harold. Thanks for having me.
And did I get this right? Is this Chef Mac or is this Chef Mac Daddy on the grill?
The latter.
Well, you know, but before we get to the cooking, we got to deal with the cleaning. A lot of folks, like me, have not used their grill in a year. And they want to take that cover off and start. Short of taking the cover off and watching out for a snake that may have slipped up. Because we've seen that.
That's true.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Snakes, frogs,
a litter of raccoons, the whole bit. let's assume that none of that stuff is happening.
Right.
And I just have a dirty grill. What's the first thing that I should do?
Well, of course, cleaning the cobwebs off. Nice dry rag. The wire brush works well, too. So you want to take that wire brush, scrape up all the whatever we call, some people call it essence, but it's no longer essence.
It's old essence.
Yeah. It's a mess. So the wire brush, dry rag, and then an oil rag after you clean all the gook off of it.
Just but what kind of oil?
Just your regular cooking oil works.
Some canola oil, olive oil, just to be able to keep the grates nice and clean and smooth. Sometimes I even take my grates off my grill and then, clean them off outside of the grill. And just, that way we can remove it from the body of the grill, too. So that normally works. But the object is to know that the cleaning the grill, it's, the substance on the grill is not seasoning. So, especially after a whole 12 months, you want to be able to make sure you get all that bacteria off. Sometimes it may be mold from the condensation, the rain rust. Outside, the heat. We want to be able to make sure the rust.
That's the number one, is that rust.
The rust, because it is metal. It is metal, so it will rust. So we want to better make sure we remove all of that good stuff so we can make sure that it doesn't cook into our food.
Now, I've heard, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I've heard some people may fire up the grill and in an attempt to quote unquote sanitize.
Smoke it off. I know where you're going.
Not a good idea.
That's one of the number one things people think is. It's really true. Uh-huh. They think that works. That doesn't kill anything.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't kill anything.
And it could kill you.
So exactly.
If you're not careful.
Exactly.
So when you prepare to cook, obviously, there's your standard, your hot dogs and your hamburgers. Mm-hmm. But what if you're really going to throw down and you are a big red meat eater? How do you shop for the best meats for grilling? Does it start in the grocery store?
It does start in the grocery store, but I'm going to let my brother Mac jump on it. I know his purchase of meats is a larger quantity than mine. I do them for events.
It starts beginning the knowledge of what you want to cook. So even before you go to the grocery store, I actually think the homework starts at home, writing yourself out a list of all the items that you want to throw on the grill. So that way when you get in the grocery store, with the empty stomach, you won't want to throw everything in your cart. So that way you're going in there for your lamb, your rack of lamb, or if you're doing your short ribs, or if you're doing your pork ribs, you know exactly what you're going for. And also, you can be able to identify the seasonings and the marinades that you want to go correspond with the meats that you're purchasing. So that way everything can blend in together, mm-hmm. you know, so, and also understanding your cooking times and everything that you have along with the meats that you're purchasing. So you won't buy something and you get stuck and not know how to prepare it at home. Mm-hmm. So, cause the things that you buy in the grocery store won't come with a cooking manual or instructions on how to do it.
And I would imagine, unless you really know what you're doing, maybe you need to start before the day that you're going to be hitting the grill.
Right. We always say practice makes perfect. So if you're having a big cookout, you want to do something, experiment with your inner circle, your family. Right. You know, try it out with them first before you host a big
some
party.
Some people will tell you it tastes good even though it may not.
Well, but do you experiment with the family members that you love or the ones that you have problems with?
It depends on the mood. Some of the ones we have problems with.
But it's all love, though. You love them. Some you love from afar. Some you will get rid of.
Some we will bring you. Those are the ones we're going to invite over and smoke off and just smoke off the 12-month-old debris on the grill. Yeah. We're going to invite them over for the first cookout.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are in studio with two grill masters. We're trying to help you get your grill in order, whatever it is that you want to prepare, whether it's red meat, whether mm-hmm. it's chicken, fish, even vegetables. If you have any questions about your technique, your seasonings, or how to make sure that you don't have a disaster in the backyard, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So I like steak.
Yeah,
I really do. What's the best steak to buy? Let us assume that my pockets are deep.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter? Can you do a filet mignon? Do you want to spend that, or is that kind of a waste and you need to get something different?
I think sirloin probably is your best to go to.
You have sirloin.
Yeah, you can get a sirloin. You can get it in the bulk, and have the butcher cut it itself. Yep. Or you can get the individual packages where, you know, they come $12 for two steaks or something like that.
Why sirloin? Why not a ribeye? Or why not something else? Does sirloin react with that kind of cooking better than perhaps something else? Or
all the beasts work good with that with the cooking on the charcoal and grill. Mm-hmm. All of them. There's no difference, but other than the texture of the meat, especially the sirloin and the filet mignon, mm-hmm. definitely a good one right there.
But if you got deep pockets, I'm going to go out and get you one of those nice tomahawk steaks. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get you one of those big bone-in tomahawk steaks. And
the cowboy steak.
The cowboy ribeye that's about 30 ounces. And let you go to work, man. And, you know, we'll see how deep your stomach is.
Well, I will be sharing it with the family members that I love.
Yeah, right.
Definitely do that. But now here's the thing. Kind of walk me through for the red meat. And I'm going to do this with the fish and everything else. Mm-hmm. Are you guys charcoal or do you do propane, smoking? What's your preference, Chef Man?
So for me, I'm not a huge propane guy when it comes to grilling. I only use propane when it comes to deep frying fish or something like that. I like to be able to get the actual essence of that smokiness from the coals or from the wood. And the method of cooking depends on, you know, the meat we're cooking. So if we're doing ribs, we may smoke some ribs, we may use wood. But if we're doing natural, just grilling grill food, we may just use straight up charcoal. You know, we may throw a piece of wood brisket in the corner just to be able to add some extra flavor, to be able to help the flame continue mm-hmm. to go a little longer. But if we're going to smoke some food, we're talking about beef brisket. We're talking about meats that just take, that need the indirect heat because they're so, you know, just to be able to break down all that fat,
fatty
be able to
tissue.
Make them
yep. mm-hmm.
nice and moist and tender. So it just depends on the meat itself and then what you're trying to accomplish, honestly.
Gosh, I have so many questions, and so do our listeners. I want to get to as many phone calls as I can between now and, of course, 8 o'clock, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are firing up your grill during this Memorial Day weekend to make sure that your food is perfect for those gatherings this weekend. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff calling from District Heights. Thanks for calling, Jeff. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I was wondering, well, first of all, good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, how
good
are
evening.
You?
Pretty good. I was wondering, do you guys prefer to fix your pork butt, pork shoulder, fat up or fat down?
Down. Yeah, I normally do down. That way it continues to allow it to, because initially when you put the meat on the grill, you want to be able to make sure the temperature doesn't burn the flesh of the meat. So that's just the way I do it. I don't like to scar the meat itself, so I allow the fat to be able to take the brunt of that and be able to render down some of that fat and juice so it can make sure it doesn't affect the temperature of the grill either with the juices running off.
Interesting. Jeff?
Down.
Yeah, thank you. Is that indirect or direct?
Definitely indirect.
When smoking.
Yeah, indirect. Especially because the pork butts and the pork shoulders, they take a little while longer, so it's normally traditionally always indirect.
Indirect, yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
Jeff, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. For those who are not familiar with the direct-indirect heat technique, what does that mean?
Well, when you talk about indirect heat, you mean like you have a pile of charcoal in the middle, but you have all your meat around the charcoal, not even engaging with the heat. So you're just getting all the smoky flavor that's rising up from the charcoal that's fluctuating through the meat. I'm getting juicy now.
Can we get a napkin for Rodney?
Already,
please?
Yes, he's ready, yes. Ready.
So, if you have a round grill, you said the charcoal's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've got a rectangular one, is it on one side or yeah. What?
So, you can do it a variety of different ways. Some people will put they will put their meat, the protein in the middle, and then put their flame on the outside so they can control the temperature a little longer. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you don't have that flow, the airflow with a bigger grill, actually have a traditional smoker, the heat won't flow as it should. So that way we put it on both sides, so that way the heat and the smoke can kind of cover both sides of the grill or the smoker itself.
So if it's on the indirect heat side, how do you? And this is such a simple question. How do you know when it's there long enough? Because it's not direct,
right? So that's where they use things like thermometers and temperature gauges and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that cook and grill, they probably listen and say, I don't use those things when I cook. However, when you're doing, certain cuts of meat that take a while, some of your briskets, when it take 10, 12 hours, 14 hours to be able to smoke and cook, I don't want to spend another 2 hours that I don't have to spend. So I'm going to stick my thermometer in there and make sure it's up to temperature so I can be able to go back inside and enjoy it and, enjoy the event myself. So, that's the only way you really know. Outside of cutting into it, but the better really be on the safe side is take that thermometer, insta-read thermometer, and poke it in there and actually wait for it to come up to temp.
What kind of temperature are we talking about?
On 165 on y'all, your beefs, and of course, chicken is 365, 165 all year round.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Always 165.
Always 165. Yeah. Great. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Sky quickly, calling from Northwest. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
I most certainly can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I make the bomb lamb chop.
I don't believe it.
I'm second guessing it too.
I have a secret, and I can't tell you because it's a secret, but they just taste so delicious. A rack is not enough, okay?
There's no more secrets
like,
in cooking.
Doggone. But anyway, here's my question. I have a regular kitchen. Is there any way, or can you tell me any method I can use so that the meat just slides off the bone, or the bone just slide off the meat, but there's nothing left, no gristle, no nothing, just bone?
So, and you're talking about lamb, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
slow and steady, slow as you go, just slow, long cooking.
Okay.
So when you're talking about like a lamb, like a rack of lamb, what's slow? Are you talking two or three hours, 4 hours? What?
You're talking 6 to 8 hours. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brother Mac.
Yeah. Anytime you want something to fall off the bone, we're talking at least, And then also the other thing that helps too is sometimes to be able to wrap your meat in aluminum foil to be able to keep that heat inside, so it's continuing to cook and no air is escaping too. So keep it nice and moist and then wrap it. That also allow it to be able to break down off the bone.
That's amazing. You got that, Sky?
Okay.
I want to try those lamb chops.
Yeah. And there's no more secrets than cooking.
All right.
You ain't said nothing.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are still taking your phone calls even after 7:30. Walter calling from Northeast. We're going to talk to you. Also, Bill calling from Clinton.
I get it. Okay.
We're going to talk to you also. Lines are still open again, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141, as well as your phone calls. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about firing up your grill for the holiday weekend and summer, all summer. I heard that. All summer long. But if you're not sure about what to cook or how to cook it, we have professional help. My guests are Rodney Madison of Sparsol Cuisine and Catering and Chef Mac, Grillmaster and Chef for Max Catering. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Bill calling from Clinton, Maryland. What's on your mind, Bill?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and thanks so much for the opportunity to ask the question.
Sure.
Good afternoon.
My question involved the best way to cook spare ribs and end up, pork spare ribs, and end up with a good, nice, moist product. I presume from the previous conversation, indirect is the method. I usually cook indirect, but sometimes my ribs are dry. How do I ensure that they are more moist? Not off the bones, you know, too tender, but, I mean, too soft, but moist.
Oh, Brother Mac gave you a pointer with the roast. Just wrap it in some lemon foil. Wrap it in at the
Now you have to parboil them. You say
no
parboil
because conversation over.
Next,
I'm just going to leave the room. Bill, both of us in the dumb house right now because we don't know. So okay, because that's
wrap them before you cook them. As you're cooking them, when do you wrap them?
So you should wrap them when they're about 75% of the way done. That way you allow the steam of your product to be able to continue to be able to cook inside. Out of the foil, and the flavor and the juices that's going to run off will be able to be inside of the aluminum foil, which adds to the steam that it's getting. So, you know, that's why. And before you even get to 75%, I suggest that you and everybody else that's listening to get you a nice spray bottle, a squirt bottle, some type of substance. It could be butter. It could be mixed with something to be able to baste and marinate the meat throughout the process. So that's part of the reason why I believe that you're getting some dry ribs, because it's got a lot of heat to it. You're getting a lot of heat going on, and you're not having anything to be able to, you know, whisk off some of that heat. So you need to be able to base, you know, spray something on them, keep them moist, turn it over. Every time you flip it, you need to turn it. Open up the grill. It's going to dry out the skin of the meat. And 9 times out of 10, you may be cooking them a little too long. You know, you may be cooking them a little too long, and your heat may be a little too high.
Okay.
But we are cooking indirect, though, right?
Yes. We are talking about indirect heat. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Now, Thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks so much. Here's a little
trick that I do as a caterer when we cooking in heavy volumes and time is of the essence. We roast them off in the oven, like 400 degrees, quick fire, so it get a little char on and everything. And then from there, we'll do the aluminum foil, like Brother Max said. It just keeps the moist juice. And you said something about not falling off the bone. I don't know how you don't want that.
he's got some good chompers.
He said step one first.
Let me just get him right.
Then we'll talk about the, you know.
Now, and before we let Bill go, because Bill, are you doing sauces or are you just doing without a sauce in the cooking process?
We I usually add a sauce afterwards. Because the sauce gets sticky and all that. I usually get them done and then add the sauce. Is that the best way to do it or not?
That's such a great question. Mm-hmm. Afterwards or right before? What do you think?
Afterwards. Like 80% or 90% through the cooking process, you want to start basting them with your barbecue sauce or whatever, you know, you might be using. Yeah. But
if you're using it, I mean, you know, we always say good barbecue doesn't need sauce, and the sauce could be optional. Some people don't like sauce; they like it on the side. But you know, it's one of those things you still want it to apply. If you're going to use it, you need to apply it so it can at least be able to soak into the meat for the last 5 to 10 minutes of the cooking.
Yeah, and break the sugar breaks down, give you that caramelized. Crispy taste and everything. Yeah.
Well, there you go, Bill. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Walter calling from Northeast. Thanks for calling, Walter. What's on your mind?
Happy Friday, gentlemen.
Hey, same
Friday to you, sir.
Now, I'm not really a grill person, but I would really like to know. But my question is, before we start grilling, what is the best way to, if you do not want to clean the grill, is which way can we protect the grill?
Go ahead. There's no getting around not cleaning the grill. Yeah. You have to clean that grill. There's no way getting around that one.
I mean, you can. It's things you can do to be able to hopefully be able to keep the amount of debris away from the grill. But first thing first, in anything you do, you want to be able to be, you know, cleanliness and hygiene is right there, is at the top of the list. So you want to be able to make sure that the surface is clean, because there's so much bacteria that lies on a grill surface after you cook meat and then after you cook food, period. And then most people don't clean the grill directly after finishing cooking from the first time. So if I grill today, most times I won't, you know, the average person won't clean it until the next time. So you gotta imagine whatever the last thing was on that grill, it's been sitting for however long you take to the next time you fire up the grill. Yeah. That bacteria grows every 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Every 20 minutes you got a new form of species of bacteria on that grill. So we need to clean that grill first, man, before we do anything else, because you know it's not going to add any extra flavor to your meat. It's not going to be additional marinade. You know, we need to clean the grill.
Yeah, especially with this time of the year, during this weather, like you say, that bacteria kicks right in. You clean it right after you finish. That's the best solution. You always got to clean that grill, bro.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. Thank you so much, Walter. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And I was going to get to this about cooking fish. We have Lou calling from New Carrollton. Lou, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Awesome job to all you guys.
Thank you so much.
I got a question for Chef Mac. I'm curious on what's the best steps to take when you want to prepare salmon on the grill, from the preparation standpoint of getting the salmon seasoned and to the preparation of putting on the grill and cooking it from a cooking time standpoint.
Okay. Good question. So first, what I do is, I mean, I don't normally do a dry seasoning when I'm throwing the salmon on the grill. I normally like to do a wet marinade, only so that way it can actually help some of the meat of the salmon restrict up, so way it doesn't break down when you put it on the grill. So sometimes you have to turn the salmon. So you start off with a nice marinade, you know, olive oil based marinade. So that way, you know, the meat kind of restricts up a little bit, so it's ready and prepared to be able to go on the grill. And then from there, I normally do skin side down first for a little bit to be able to get a nice char, get your grill marks, and then I'll flip it back over, and that'll be the last time you flip it on the grill, because if not, you'll have broken pieces of salmon all over the place. And then, you know, I do a lot of indirect cooking. So I'll do an indirect heat with the salmon. If I do direct heat with the salmon, it'll be just to be able to get the grill marks initially. And then once we flip it back over to the bottom side, which will be the skin side that we remove or keep on, we'll take it over to the indirect heat and allow it to finish cooking there. And then you can always tell when the salmon is done. I mean, you can take your fork and, you know, the best way to tell is to make sure that it's flaky. You know, anything past that is, you know, is done.
It's done. Well, there you go, Lou. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to go back to some basics, before we go back to the phones when those folks call back in. Mm-hmm. starting a fire, let us assume that we are not using propane, but we are using charcoal. There's been a lot of talk about no longer using lighter fluid. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that, and if not, how do you start?
Well, the lighter fluid is always great. A lot of people make the mistake dealing with the lighter fluid is, one, they put it on there and then they try to light it right away. Best solution with that myself is, if you're going to use lighter fluid, let the charcoal soak a little bit before you try to light it, so you won't get that big combustion of roll Uncle Charlie over.
Yeah, we do love Uncle Charlie. And what about... And because I stopped using lighter fluid, I have one of the lighters.
Yeah,
it takes a while, but you know, your thoughts about that, Chef Mac?
Yeah, so the chimneys are good. I think the issue with the lighter fluid is, and always has been, is the impatience of people allowing that chemical to burn off the coals themselves. Mm-hmm. So if I were to initially, put the lighter fluid on charcoal and I light it, then I think my coals are ready for me to put my food on, which is not. So it's still, the lighter fluid is a chemical. So that has to burn off. So your coals turn colors throughout the preparation stage. They go from black to and then when they're ready, they are like a white ash gray color. Mm-hmm. So that's when, at that point, all of the chemical, if you are in fact using lighter fluid, are off. But if you have the opportunity, if you're not in a rush, and if you actually, have some good time, I would suggest and recommend using, a chimney. Mm-hmm. You can put the coals in there. It does take a little longer, but at the same time, it's natural.
Yeah.
Even when you're getting some of the competitions, you can't even use lighter fluid. Yep. 90% of them, they won't even allow you to use the chemical lighter fluid. You have to use the chimneys. You have to, and then some of the, some people even use the propane tank and they actually torch charcoals to get them to ready. So lighter fluid is one of those things that, they take it away because most people don't take the time to be able to allow it to, the chemical can come off the food.
Now, I want to talk about smoking. If you do not have a smoker, if you have a smoker, that's a whole different ball of wax. But most people who do this around the holidays, but aren't grilling like they cook in their kitchens, they just have a grill. How do you smoke using a grill, whether it's a barrel grill, a rectangular grill, or even a round one? How do you start, and what's the process? Let's say chicken. You want to smoke a whole chicken.
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely starts with your wood chips, whatever you're going to use to smoke it with. So you soak those. Then you might put them in a separate pan, whatever size grill you have. You can do a full-size pan, or you can do a small half-size pan. And you let that smoke perforate throughout the grill. And
now, when you soak them, how long do you soak them, and what kind of chips are we talking about? Because there's so many different kinds of chips.
Yeah, it's your preference, really. If it's cherry oak or whatever, it's your preference, whatever what chips you want to use. And a lot of times, in the local stores, they pretty much carry maybe two different kinds or something like that.
Cherry and hickory.
Yeah. And oak, of course. Yeah, that's your number. That's your three right there.
Cherry and hickory. You're right. Cherry and hickory is the top of the line when you go into your Lowe's or your Home Depot. But
always indirect, though. Even when you're smoking, smoking is always indirect. So you got your pan in your middle of the grill, then you got your meat around the side that's still smoking.
Is the pan, so are your chips are wet, but are they in water or are they just wet?
Oh, I'm sorry, they're wet, but you spread them out amongst the charcoal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're on the charcoal. Mm-hmm. I see. And then let's say you have your chicken. I guess you have a pan or a chicken stand or what have you. This is the issue that I often have. Mm-hmm. I've soaked chips for a day, the day before, and I do get smoke. But eventually, my concern is
too much smoke.
Fire.
Hmm.
Oh, keep it igniting it.
Yeah.
Keep it
igniting. How do you address that?
Yeah, so it's a couple different ways. So, I mean, with indirect heat, you will have to add, you know, wood to be able to continue to, you know, keep the temperature mm-hmm. up to speed. But the other way is just getting a good gauge of adjusting your dampers. Every once in a while, you may have to open it up to better allow some type of, you know, air to reignite the wood, reignite your charcoal. So every once in a while, you will have to allow some air in to be able to create and keep the fire going. And then from there, it's just kind of monitoring it and then on if you have to add in one more wood chip or, you know, five more charcoals or whatever it is to be able to continue to let it cook at a slower pace. But the toughest part is to be able to catch up once everything is died down. Some people, you know, they say, hey, I'm smoking for 8 hours, and they'll put it on and won't come back and check on it for another 5 hours.
I see.
Versus mm-hmm. a lot checking on it, you know, in increments to be able to make sure the temperature. It's good to be able to have a grill that has a temperature gauge, too, so you can know, hey, it's at 180 degrees right now. If I come back in 20 right? minutes, mm-hmm. it's 110 degrees. So it allows, it kind of gives you a good barometer when you need to add coals and when you need to open up the damper or allow some more air in. So it's, you know, even though we're smoking at a longer pace, you still want to pay attention to, the process itself.
And I would imagine, I mean, in any kind of cooking, when you're talking about open flame, and this is not in your kitchen, whether you're using chimneys to start or lighter fluid, we would be remiss not to mention this. You have to be careful.
Yeah.
You just really have to be careful because there are so many accidents, not only with propane, I would imagine some with smoked, but definitely with the open flame.
You know, people do a lot of cooking right next to their homes, and you would be surprised at how many people even cook inside their garages or enclosed mm-hmm. non-ventilated areas. I mean, those are the worst. So I mean the best place to do it is to be away from your house, your siding, you know, no trees leaning down over mm-hmm. top. You just want to be able to make sure you got an open, clean space so that way no debris, anything, of chances of being able to catch on fire or be able to, you know, or melt, because the area around the grill that you're cooking is just as hot as the grill itself. So if you got it, you know, a half an inch away from the siding of your home, I mean, it can melt the siding of your home. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So you just want to better make sure the area is clear, no kids running around,
right?
You know,
no play
anybody
zone.
Tripping, you know, so.
Yeah, that's you definitely ever have a no play zone in that grill area, because anybody could trip, fall, even knock over the grill.
Yeah. And that would definitely spell trouble. So we've talked about fish. We've talked about some red meats. I did mention a whole chicken, but is it different when doing wings, or is chicken just chicken?
No, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different. I mean, the cooking times are a lot different. I mean, you know, wings will cook faster than a whole chicken because you have to make sure the entire chicken gets cooked, yeah. You know, versus a wing is a portion. So it's definitely, the methods change. I mean, a lot of people, some people don't smoke chicken wings. They may grill them. They may mm-hmm. be over direct heat. You know, we talked about a little earlier, Chef, when I said, you know, I'm not a big fan of charred meat.
Right.
I've never been that guy. You know, some people, you know, they do like charred food. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I mean, it's one of those things. You just have to know what the crowd is or what the event is itself that you're cooking for. You know, but a burnt hot dog is probably as far as I go when it comes
to charred. That's about it, right.
Yes, right.
So here, I've seen this online. There's, and I don't know if these things work, but I've seen something.
The pad.
It's a pad. It's a gold or brass colored pad that you put over the grates so that when you're doing vegetables, it prevents them from slipping
through the cracks.
Through the cracks. Yeah. Good idea, bad idea. What are these things? How do they work?
That's not one of my. I've never purchased one. I had a neighbor that had one and highly recommended it. I said, "What works for you is good," but that's not going to work for me.
But how do you keep your asparagus from falling through if you wanted to get foil?
Well, they have baskets. They have a square basket where you put all the asparagus in it. You got it. It can flip over and whatever. So you have baskets, all different kind. Now they use baskets round, open. It's like a basket, metal basket. Has holes in it as well.
Yep.
Yeah, perforated. Yep.
Hmm. Okay. You see,
I have heard those mats work. Very, very well. So I haven't used them. I normally don't use them, but they, I heard they do very, very well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to, you know, to folks out there who may not have as much experience in of having things rolled through the cracks of your grill or right. through the slots of your grill, you know, I would probably recommend it. I haven't tried it, so I can't stamp it. But, you know, anything that will stop your food from rolling
wasting,
over.
Yeah.
Shoot, some people even roll over hot dogs in the crease of their, in the grill, roll over the side. So it's always, you know, it's always a casualty when it comes to, you know, to a grill in the season.
Yeah, I've still got to clean out some asparagus spears. Anybody want any of this dusty asparagus?
Right. Right.
I've got about 10 minutes left, and I wanted you guys to kind of, you know, share with me some of your favorite recipes that you're not afraid to give us the family secrets for. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give it all, but what is your favorite thing, Rodney, to cook, and how do you do it? What's the thing that shuts up everybody at the end of the day and gives them the itis?
Oh my gosh, we're still talking grilling. So one of my go-to things for the grilling season for my family is our shrimp cakes. We call them shrimp cakes. So even when you make them, you have to process some of the raw shrimp, and you have to cook some of the shrimp. So if you got a pound of shrimp, you'll take half a pound uncooked, process it, and then you'll take a pound that's cooked, steamed, or whatever. Then you'll blend them together, adding in your tricolor peppers, whatever, parsley, and everything. And then we grill them on the grill. Mm-hmm. Patty them up, make a patty out of them, and grill them. That's my number one thing to go to during the summer. That's what they all we have in shrimp. No, we're not having shrimp cakes today.
We have hot dog cakes.
Hot dogs, hamburgers, or something like that.
I mean, I'll make you a meatball or something. Yeah.
But that's our family secret that we go to for grilling during the summertime.
How long does it take to make a shrimp cake on the grill? Because we are talking about shrimp is always quick.
Yeah. The process of making them takes longer because you have to let it set, you have to let it mold, and
even before it hits the grill.
Yeah, because if you don't do that and you let it hit the grill, you're gonna have what Mac was saying earlier, or you pulling stuff out the corners.
Because it'll fall apart and it'll fall through. And, man, that does sound good. You didn't bring any though, but that's another conversation.
I had to send some up here to you. It won't be this weekend. I'm working for other clients all this weekend. I won't be.
Don't worry about it. We'll have your wife drop it by to the producer.
Yeah, yeah.
And what your favorite one, Chef Mac? What's your the thing that even impresses you, and it's your deal?
Man, I tell you, and the first caller hit it right on the head, and I was, you know, I'm actually was curious to see if she was going to spill her beans of her private secret recipe.
Oh, Sky, if you're listening, we just don't.
Yeah. I mean, you don't believe
it. Because Sky said I can make the bomb lamb chops.
Yeah, bomb
but I have a question because my lamb chops aren't the bomb.
Yeah, but that would be probably it. So we even do, you know, a whole rack of lamb or a leg of lamb, and you know, we'll season it up with some fresh chopped herbs with your rosemary, your thyme, you know, and then we'll normally, even before it hits the grill, you know, like Chef said, we'll marinate it. I try to marinate it as long as I can. 24 hours is almost the bare minimum in situations where you can, to be able to lock in all that flavor, especially when you're using, you know, fresh herbs and rosemary, to be able to get some of that gaminess out of you know, that comes along with your lamb. And then just, you know, with lamb, I like to sear it, you know, to be able to seal in, you know, the herbs that's on the skin, get a nice crust, and then from there is an indirect heat.
So you'll sear it in the kitchen.
If I'm off site, come to your house and I cook, so I will do indirect flame on the grill. So I'll get the grill nice and hot, sear up that skin really quickly, and then move it to the indirect side to be able to finish off the cooking process. Because, you know, everybody wants to see that nice brown, especially when you're talking about red meat and beef. You want to see that nice brown skin, that texture, you know, and you want to be able to see the flavor on the skin. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, I ain't the only one salivating.
You gotta be able to see it, man. You gotta be able to see it. Yeah. So that's my deal, man. We wrap it up and, you know, let it go to work. Mm-hmm. And continue to baste it with some fresh garlic, and you know, those are things you know you can be able to use and take it to the bank with almost any any type of meat is using your fresh herbs, yep. your fresh garlic, and butter. Lots of butter. There's nothing mm-hmm. that, there's nothing wrong with using a whole bunch of butter. So, okay. Butter makes everything better.
That's what they say.
mistakes that people make. Give me your top handful of mistakes. Your don'ts. The things that people need to watch out for when they are cooking. And I'm talking about the cooking process, mm-hmm. not safety, but just you know whether it's meat or vegetables. What kind of things have you seen people do when you just say, okay, hold on.
It's the temperature. That I can't state that more than enough. The temperature of your grill. You always, if you got a charcoal grill, you won't have a hot spot, a medium, and a cool spot. It can be cold, no charcoal if possible, because that'll stop your process of cooking. Because some people put that right onto the direct heat. And you, for instance, you're doing a hamburger. You got a burnt hamburger. Look good on the outside. Mm. You break the middle, it's red as ever because you done flamed it.
Mm-hmm. And you sealed it so it's not cooking. I didn't think about it. And then you put it
on the middle part where it just, you know, it finishes, it cooks slower. And then after it's done, you put it to the side for whoever preference they want. I mean, a lot of people like medium rare hamburgers. For my mother, for instance, she liked medium rare. When we cooking burgers, she like, cook mine last because, you know, I like it. You know, she like a little raw meat. I mean.
Mm-hmm. So temperature, and your thoughts about that.
Man. Yeah, so I jotted it down first. It was high heat and undercooked meat. Yes, so, I mean, Lord. That's one of the things we see a lot of is, you know, we see it done. Oh, this is done. And then, you open it up and it's still. Just as raw as it was when you brought it out the pack. But and then it goes back to the point you made with the lighter fluid. I see that all too well with people dousing the charcoals with lighter fluid mm-hmm. and don't allow the chemicals to burn off. And then I guess lastly it would just be just the sanitation piece when you're cooking. So, I mean, we got a lot of people who are cross-contaminated while they're cooking. Mm-hmm. So they may have some, you know, ready-to-eat hot dogs. They're really, honestly, when the hot dogs come out the pack, they're already cooked.
Right. Yeah.
So we got them next to our raw chicken, and we're using the same tongs to turn over the mm-hmm. chicken, to turn over the, you know, the hot dogs. So, you know, those are the things that, and we all say the same thing. Well, we on the grill, it's going to burn off, it's okay. But ultimately, realistically, it's not. So, I mean, it's a lot of bacteria when it comes down to the chicken, and we want to be able to make sure that our ready-to-eat foods and our cooked foods
come in contact
with our raw meat. So,
can you cook side dishes? I mean, can you smoke a casserole or you know? I mean, I know.
Now, listen, before we got to all these expensive stoves and ovens, you know, grilling is primitive. Yes. You know, I mean, we can do anything on the grill. Anything on heat, you better wrap it up, put it in a nice casserole, nice glass container, or even an aluminum pan, cover it up. You can cook just about anything from cabbage to vegetable, anything you want, you can think of. Because if you think about it, it's heat. You know,
I've baked cakes on the grill.
Really?
Baked cakes on the grill with your regular cake pan. You do your batter. Put it on the indirect heat.
Yeah, I can't say I baked a cake on the grill.
That's it's heat. It's an oven.
So here's my question about that, because if you put your cake mix the batter in the pan, does it come out with a smoky essence?
Yeah, you definitely have a smoky essence. I think what I did
chocolate cake.
Right.
No, a pineapple upside down cake. Now, you know grilling fruit and stuff right. but that brings it out. So we had a pineapple upside down cake. I mean, we were in the house and I was like, we don't have no dessert. So I snatched over the cabinets, like, boom, boom, threw it on the grill. I didn't know it was going to work. I'm going in. I said,
you're experimenting. Yeah. On the folks that you love.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I did, and it was kind of a similar thing this was a couple of years ago. I just decided I wanted to do something special. Mm-hmm. So I took an apple. Don't ask me what kind. I don't remember what kind it was. But I cut it in half and I took the seeds and the other stuff out. And then I turned it flesh side down, put some grill marks on it. But then I brushed it with a cayenne and a little maple mix and cinnamon as well, maybe even some allspice, and kind of, you know, smoked it until it was you know, kind of malleable, not real mushy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I slid. I didn't scoop. I slid some vanilla ice cream on it after I took it
out.
Yeah.
Oh, it was in. It was
wonderful. You can use that. Just make sure you put my name on
right,
it.
Right, right. Yeah, you got the grilled peaches. We've done grilled peaches with the ice cream and the slice of cake on the grill.
Even using those grilled fruits for your syrups and for your butters and stuff like that. I mean, they go very, very well. Peaches and grilled peach syrup. And
that
you know,
hit that, it just break it down. I mean,
so there's no wrong.
Nah. You
just unless it's black on the inside, yeah, outside and red on the inside.
And if you're like one caller who say he just doesn't want to clean the grill at all. He just want to go right out and start cooking. He gonna wrap it up in bubble wrap, make sure that it's clean.
please, safety and cooking hygienics. Please take care of that. Rodney Madison and Chef Mac, thank you both so much.
Thank you
for sharing some knowledge, and have a happy and safe Memorial Day. I appreciate you guys coming in. I'm taking notes.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, May 24th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night. And please have a safe and wonderful Memorial Day weekend.